We have a couple of representatives that are going to testify this morning that have other hearings very shortly. So we're going to open with House Bill 3665, and I'd like to have Representative Brown, please.
Can I bring up some other folks, too? I have with my chamber here.
Okay, thank you. Would counsel please read us a summary?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3665 authorizes a holder of a temporary OLCC sales license to sell wine or beer for future consumption, so sealed packages for future consumption.
Representative Brown.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee. For the record, my name is Alan Brown, State Representative from House District 4. I sponsored House Bill 3665 on part of my local community in the Newport Chamber of Commerce. During last spring, while they were in the process of putting on their annual wine festival, they realized there had been some changes made in some of the revised statutes that would affect the way that they conducted their festival. And after contacting OLCC and working with those folks through there, we've come up with these amendments to address our situation. And I'll let the people here that I have with me this morning from the chamber explain to you what the situation was.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairwoman Walker, committee members, and Representative Brown, for this opportunity to discuss House Bill 3665. My name is Lisa Noah. I'm the Economic Development Director for the Newport Chamber of Commerce, and I have with me today Mayor Mark Jones, who is to the right of me, and Larry Hansen and Patty Britton, who are behind us. They are ambassadors for the Newport Chamber of Commerce as well as Newport business people. We're here to support House Bill 3665, sponsored by Representative Alan Brown, and we've also brought along a copy of the written testimony along with a petition signed by 158 citizens of Newport and members of the Newport Chamber of Commerce who also support House Bill 3665. We would have had more signatures, but we only had 4 days to get them, so that's why there's only 158 in the 4 days. What I'd like to do is give you some background as to why this bill is so important to our community and to other small rural communities like Newport who hold festivals. Aside from the diminishing fishing industry, seasonal tourism is the only industry remaining in Newport. And I'd like to reiterate seasonal because our tourism season only is during the summer months. The Seafood and Wine Festival, which occurs in February, is the only event that infuses much-needed dollars into our community during the winter season when tourism is at its lowest. The dollars that are earned during the Seafood and Wine Festival carries our businesses through the off-season until the summer season arrives again. But the Seafood and Wine Festival doesn't just boost our local economy. It has a great impact on all of Lincoln County and its surrounding neighbors. That includes Tillamook to the north of us, Florence to the south of us, and Corvallis to the east of us. The other reason why this bill is so important is because the Seafood and Wine Festival is the largest fundraiser for approximately 15 to 20 nonprofit organizations. These organizations raise anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000 at the festival through sales of cases of wine, glasses of wine, and bottles of wine, with bottle sales accounting for approximately 50% of the revenue. And these dollars are all invested back into our community to help with programs like literacy, child abuse, women's intervention, women's violence intervention, scholarships, and educational needs such as clothing and school supplies for elementary students and prescriptions for K through 12 students whose families can't afford to supply these needs for their kids. By allowing the nonprofits to raise as much dollars as possible during the Seafood and Wine Festival, you allow those needy residents of Newport and its surrounding communities to also benefit from the Seafood and Wine Festival. House Bill 3665 and its amendment will solve two big issues that we encountered while organizing the 24th Annual Seafood and Wine Festival this year. Those two issues being package sales of wine and alcohol server education requirements. These changes will continue the traditions and successes of the Seafood and Wine Festival that has made it the best event of its kind in the Pacific Northwest for the past 24 years. I would like to offer one comment in regards to the last sentence on Section 1, Item 7 of the amendment, which states that the Commission by rule may establish education requirements for servers described in this subsection. We would hope that it's the legislative intent that when these new rules are written to establish these education requirements, that it be no more than 2 hours. The present Seafood and Wine Festival is a good model to use as a guideline. Our volunteers for the festival work 1 2-to-4-hour shifts annually, and the current OLCC requirement of a server's permit plus an alcohol server education program and examination seems like an awful lot to require, especially in light of the fact that these are the same requirements for those who work in bars and restaurants. The Seafood and Wine Festival holds classes that are no more than 1 hour in length by our local OLCC representative that covers 3 areas. 1, what the proper amount is to pour into a taster and a glass. 2, how to identify those that are intoxicated. And 3, what the volunteer should do once they have identified this intoxicated person. All volunteers are required to attend this OLCC class annually versus every 5 years for the server education program. House Bill 3665 will assist nonprofits and charitable organizations to continue to raise as much money as possible at events to help the needy population in our community, and it will also continue to infuse dollars into our local economy during the most critical season. Therefore, we urge you to act swiftly and favorably on House Bill 3665. Thank you, Chairwoman Walker and committee members, for your time and attention, and I now invite any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Representative Ringo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I may have missed you. You said that a license for volunteers, that must be taken once a year, but for a normal license once every 5 years?
No, the current OLCC requirement is, and it just changed at January of this year, is that all volunteers must attend the server's education and take the tests, and those happen once every 5 years. So unlike our OLCC training that we currently hold for the Seafood and Wine Festival, which is annually.
Follow-up, Manager? I'm just wondering, to me it makes sense to facilitate the Seafood and Wine Festival, but to say that there's a different standard for employees and volunteers for a nonprofit or charitable organization, I could see of a situation where somebody is constantly working at a nonprofit, so it's not just a 10-day event or a one-week event. They're there for the full year, and there ought to be a higher requirement. Any comment?
Yes, I do. And I'll turn it over to our mayor if that's okay.
Oh, sure. My other question is, when is the festival this summer? I could put it on the calendar right
now.
It's the last full weekend, last full weekend in February.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr.
Chairman Walker and Representative Ringo, there is that possibility, excuse me, and that's how part of this rule got written, was there are various areas where people are actually serving it at multiple events. And there may be a place in this when the rules are written that when you write the rules that if you do more than one or two or three events a year that you have to have a full server's permit. The way that we're proposing with this, with the amendments and this bill, what it allows for is annual recognition and retraining of the larger group of people who serve at these kind of fundraising events with nonprofits, where they're annually upgraded on their skills versus if they get a server permit, they're only required to attend that once every 5 years. And being a short window for the majority of them, there's a long span in there where they aren't serving, so they tend to forget. So we tend to believe that this is a superior position over if they have to attend that 1 hour with every event, they're probably going to go ahead and get their license because that would be, or 2 hours, it would be in their best interest to go ahead and get a full server permit license. So I think it's addressed within that.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Well, I think we have someone from OLCC here, but again, what is exactly a temporary sales license?
That's for nonprofits who are going to be selling, I guess, alcoholic beverages, malt beverages.
Is there a durational limit on this license?
Yes, it's only 1 year.
It's one year, okay. And you know, well, you probably don't. It's not in the statute that we're amending. I was just curious where that was in the statutes. But we can ask the OLCC person. That's fine.
Okay. Any other question? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. What's his name? John Stubel. Would you come up, please? You weren't on our list, but we've added your name.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Good morning. My name is John Steubenvall. I'm the Communications Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Representative Shetterly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the statute we're amending deals with a temporary sales license, and I guess could you give us an overview of what a temporary sales license is and the duration and any other limitations that apply?
Madam Chair, Representative Shetterly, typically when we issue a temporary license, it does have a limited duration. It is up to 1 year, but typically we're looking at an event that's a weekend event, just a several-day event for which the license will be used. The Newport Seafood Fest is a good example of that. We have essentially a weekend event where folks will use this license.
Yes, Representative Shetterly.
And so getting back to what our previous witness testified as to annual education, I guess that means then that since the license expires on an annual basis, you need to reapply, and so the whatever educational requirement you establish by rule, they'd have to go through again in order to renew that or get a new temporary license?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Shetterly, I'm assuming that would be the intent of any rules that we would adopt. At this point, the requirement that the previous speaker spoke to, I don't believe is an OLCC requirement. I believe that's a requirement that the local folks have put on themselves, which we think is a great idea. But should the legislature proceed with this legislation, we would assume that educational requirements for these type of events would include some type of annual or periodic refreshing, if you will. And we think that's a very important piece. We recognize that the full alcohol server education program could be a bit much for folks who come in and serve 1 or 2 days a year. But we do think it's very important that these folks do have some type of alcohol service education.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Was there anyone else that wished to testify on this bill? Okay, I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 3665. We're not going to go into work session on some of these this morning. We have a lot of people to testify, and we have some members that will be coming here very shortly. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to open the hearing on House Bill 2840, Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2840 adds the office of county judge who exercises judicial functions to the list of nonpartisan offices, and there is no revenue impact or no fiscal impact on this bill.
Okay. Representative Smith. Greg Smith.
Thank you, Chair Walker, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Greg Smith, and I'm the state representative for District 59, which represents 8 rural eastern Oregon counties. I come here today in full support of House Bill 2840. This is a bill that my county judges brought before me saying that they thought it was important for us to make an amendment that would add the office of county judge who exercises judicial functions to the list of nonpartisan positions. To my left, I have Judge Mike MacArthur from Sherman County, and if it would be all right, I'd like to introduce you to him and have him carry the ball from here. I need to leave for a Ways and Means Subcommittee work session, but I do want you to know that I fully support House Bill 2840. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am Mike MacArthur, Sherman County Judge. I'm here representing other rural county judges. By statute in certain Oregon counties, the position of county judge still has some judicial authority. There are seven counties in which this county judge position still exercises judicial authority. In three counties, it's probate only. In three counties, it's both probate and juvenile, and one county, juvenile jurisdiction only. A few years ago, the legislature chose to make several other positions nonpartisan, including clerk, assessor, sheriff, and so forth. We think that the county judge is a position that ought to be nonpartisan. There's no real reason why the exercise of partisanship should play a role in this position. It's primarily an administrative position, even though we do exercise judicial authority. Primarily, we're the CEO of the county, the administrator. We find that the party process is just not one that makes much sense to us. Other judicial positions in the system, circuit court judge and justice of the peace, are also nonpartisan. We think this judge position should also be nonpartisan. As you can see, I have a letter here signed by six of those seven county judges in support of this legislation.
Any questions of Judge MacArthur? Representative Shetterly.
Thank you. So as I understand it, and I don't live in one of these counties, but you serve kind of a dual function. One is as county commissioners, is that it? And part of those duties then are expanded in these counties to include these judicial functions as well?
Madam Chair, Representative Shetterly, it's really interesting. Sometimes I like to say I represent all three branches of government, and in fact do. In the role that we play is juvenile and probate jurisdiction, the judicial side, as the administrator of the county, the executive function, and also run the juvenile department. So, in fact, we do play several different roles.
That seems to me they want it.
I have a question. Currently, the other commissioners, are you on a rotating basis, or are you the only one that is considered to be a judge, or is it a rotating basis on the commission?
Chair Walker, we run for the position of county judge.
You do run for the position.
And we're essentially the full-time commissioner, if you will, the one who's there administering the policies of the county on a day-by-day basis, and the other commissioners are generally part-time. And also, this is a six-year term as opposed to a four-year term.
Madam Chair.
That's
kind of interesting. Are those other commissioners, are they referred to as county judge as well, or are they referred to as county commissioners?
Madam Chair, I represent Shelley, county commissioner.
Okay, so you've got a county judge that is the chair of the commission, and then you have the commissioners.
Correct.
I didn't know that. Madam Chair?
I
know this is all intended to deal with election law. I think it's basically if there aren't any cross-references to this statute that would... No. It wouldn't bring you into the judicial PERS system or... okay.
Any other questions?
One more.
Representative Shirley.
Well, and I see the letter here from you is signed by six county judges. You said there are six counties. Are these all the county judges in the state then?
Madam Chair, Mr. Representative Scheller, there is one other who has not signed, and that's Malheur County.
Okay.
Judge MacArthur, what kind of judicial functions do you perform?
Juvenile jurisdiction and probate. So I hear juvenile cases, and I administer the juvenile department.
So you hear juvenile cases and probate?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Another question? Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else here that wanted to testify on this bill? Okay. Thank you. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2840, and we're not going into work session on that one either.
Max is supposed to be here to testify on this bill, and it's now it's just
copy of Republicans.
Can get Greg Mao to come up. Left a message in Max's office. I don't know where he is. I'm going to go try it again. Representative Max Williams is going to testify on this next bill, and he's on his way down, so we're going to wait just a moment until he gets here.
Which next bill?
3677, the next hearing.